Well, we've been in a series on prayer. We talk about praying in all kinds of prayers. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer. Other versions say, with all kinds of prayer. And supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication in the saints. Praying always with all prayer. So there's different types of prayer. There's all kinds of prayer. And it's all prayer. But the Bible talks about different types. Tonight, I want to just, I don't know if this is really a sermon so much. We're going to go over some things concerning this. But I'm going to go over some prayers, mostly almost all just, you know, direct prayers or things that are being asked in the New Testament. And they're examples, like the Apostle Paul praying these things. Things where they're prayed, and so we can use those. We can pray those prayers. I mean, the Spirit of God inspired the Word of God, and Scripture is God breathed. So, of course, we can pray the Word. You can always pray according to. And there's something, at least one. It's just more like we're praying according to the Word. But there's a lot of things that Paul actually was praying, or, you know, whoever, Peter, the writer of the book, was praying for somebody. Well, we can just take that prayer. We know it's Scripture. I mean, we know we can always pray the Scriptures, but you're talking about something that was inspired as a prayer, or talking about what is being prayed. So we can just take that. We know that's right on. That's a Spirit-inspired prayer, and we can pray those things. And actually, we, you know, these prayers that we're going to go over, these are things that you can pray, you know, for yourself, for other people. But look at Hebrews 4:12 before we get going. Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful. So the word of God is anointed already. And so these prayers, we know they're anointed. You don't have to try to pray God's blessing. You don't have to wonder if you're praying according to Scripture, because you're praying. You're literally praying Scripture. Praise God. As we're going through, there's some scriptures, these prayers, because we'll make these available. We're going to give you a printed copy right now, but we'll send this out and a link to these things. And this is just, it's not necessarily an exhaustive list, but these are prayers that what we're talking about. We're going to go through some of these. We're going to read the scriptures, but then also you have that in front of you, but we're going to put it up on the screen too as well. But so either look at the screen, or you can look at it here as we're going through, whatever works for you. And like I said, we'll make these available as well. So these aren't prayers like the only prayers you can play. Obviously, we've been spending a lot of time on prayer. This doesn't mean these are prayers directly from things that are being prayed in the New Testament. And like I said, this isn't necessarily an exhaustive list, although, you know, this is a lot of ones that are directly in there. But there's a lot of things we can pray according to the Word. We've talked about it. You can always pray according to the Word. But these are things that we're just saying, hey, somebody in the New Testament was already praying this way. And then what we've done, and actually these prayers, we pray these for you guys. We pray these for our family. The way it's written here is just the Scriptures. You'll see that. But then it's written like you're praying. It's written like praying for us. You could like when you say, I pray this for us, and you can put in whoever. The way we'll do it, we'll name people's names and groups of people's names, and then say, okay, now we're praying these prayers for these people we named, and say for us. And you'll see how that's worked. And you can always just put me if you want. You know, you mean you're saying I can pray for myself. I can pray for, you know, and you can name your family or whatever, but it's written in such a way that it's already there for you to use like that. So let's look at Ephesians 1, verse 15, and we'll start there. Ephesians 1:15, it says, therefore, so now this is a section of Scripture, okay? this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians, says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, so he's talking about his prayers, and now he's going to say, what is the content of his prayers that he's praying for the Ephesians? So let's verse 16 says, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. So this is what the Apostle Paul is praying for the Ephesians. Well, if he prayed it for the Ephesians, we can pray it for us. He's praying for just fellow Christians. There's nothing special about the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. So we can do the same thing and pray. And we know it's God-breathed, Spirit-inspired prayers. So verse 16 again, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So he's praying that the Ephesians would see these things, would understand these things. And this, in particular, these Ephesians, call them the Ephesians prayers. There's a couple prayers in Ephesians, this and then one in verse 3. These are good things. All these prayers are good. But these are getting the revelation of what Jesus has done and our position with him. If Paul could pray that for the Ephesians, that they would get a hold of us, it's a good thing for us to pray for ourselves, for the people around us, that we would see it and get a hold of it. All right, so let's look at, you know, you look on your sheet or look up here, that first one. Now most of the references are completely the same, but like here, just so you know, that's not a typo. Where he actually starts praying the prayer, that starts in verse 17. I gave you the context in verse 15, the scripture we just put, but where he starts praying so that you would know, hey, this is the prayer that we're praying, it starts in verse 17. So that's why these are, I guess they have the 15 at the bottom, but on your sheet it says 17. So you look at this, it says, I pray. So you can go and pray for whoever, name their names, and then so I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us, whoever you're praying for. We could pray for ourselves right now. May give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. What's he praying? That we would get a hold. We're praying that we would get a hold of what God has done through Jesus Christ. According to the working of his mighty power. Did I skip something? No, I'm good. Okay. Power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Okay, we'll just leave it like that. So this is, we're just going to go through some of these and you can see some of them, it's like that one's pretty close to we're praying like right along with it with just some words. Sometimes it's like there's several verses together that kind of consolidate so that it makes sense when you're praying it. You know, some other phrases in there will drop, but it's just makes it clear then how to pray. Let's look at Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 19 in the actual scripture, and we'll get to the prayer here in a minute. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's he doing? He's praying. I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What's he praying? That he would grant you, or he's praying for the Ephesians, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So there's several things there. He's talking about being strengthened with might in your inner man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love, that you would be able to comprehend with all the saints how great is the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. These are things that are very important. And so let's look at let's put up the prayer. And we'll walk through this. It says, for this reason. So again, we're praying for somebody, us, group of people. For this reason, I'm taking that place. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. So we're going to go, we're just going to take some time then. We're going to read the verses, but then we're going to pray these together. I'm going to pray them, and you guys have your sheets there. It's up there. We're going to just take, we might as well, as we're looking at it, we're actually joining together and we're praying. Okay? So let's look at Colossians 1, verse 9. Just in the verses of Scripture. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. See, saying, we're praying for you. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Think about that. You need wisdom. We know, like James 1:5, we talked about that. You need wisdom. But here, he's saying, he's praying for the Colossians, that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom. We need to know that. If we know what His will is in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, then we can walk our path out with confidence and with clarity. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. I mean, we could preach a sermon on every one of these verses. They're so packed. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. How many of you want to please God? Well, this is what it's saying. You're walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. That must mean you're walking in faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. See, these are all really good things. The Apostle Paul is praying this for the Colossians, so we know, right, we can take that prayer and all these things, we know we can pray those things for us or whoever needs it, and we know we are exactly in line with the Word of God. You don't have to question it and go, gosh, I wonder if this prayer is scriptural. I wonder if I'm misapplying this verse. We are literally praying Scripture. There's a confidence. You know that's anointed. You know it's part of the Word of God. You know it is God's will. You don't have to wonder if He wants us to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know that He wants us to be fully pleasing to Him. You know that He wants us to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So let's pick up in verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, that He has already qualified us. Verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Apostle Paul's praying, if we get a hold of these things, then we can walk in life securely and strongly because these are vital truths. So let's do this. We're going to go to the Colossians 1, 9 and 14, 9 through 14 and pray this together. But let's just preface these things. You know, we pray these anyway, you know, the other verses, but you know, starting here, let's just pray. Start out and pray for us here, our families, and you know, the Andover Christian Center family, and let's pray these things. So you're praying for yourself, you're praying for your family, you're praying for the church, and we could add a lot more, but let's pray. So as we're praying, you know this is what we're praying together. Let's just, this dual purpose, we're taking this time to go through these things, but then as we pray, let's pray together and make it clear. So let's just go ahead. Let's see how this works. You guys have something in front of you. Go ahead and put the verses up. We're going to do it instead of me saying it and repeating it. We'll say that. If we have to go to that, we will. But we're just going to pray it together, okay, and see how that works, all right? So go ahead and let's all speak it out loud. I ask that we may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now we're going to go to the next one. But as we're doing this, this is something you can take, list the people, and you could pray right down through this. The Apostle Paul said several places, I pray without ceasing, I'm doing this. So these are things you can pray more than once. You can pray it, and it's a pattern. It's powerful. All right, let's look at Ephesians 6, verse 17. This is a verse, the context that we started with, the scripture a little later in this passage. But let's read verse 17. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying with all, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." This is the part we're actually going to pray. "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now notice this, just real quick, go back to verse 19. So I gave the context because it was mid-sentence when he got into verse 19. But this is one of those where we're just going to be praying 19 and 20. It says, he just said, that praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then he said, "And for me." What is he saying? What is he telling the Ephesians to pray for him? Paul the Apostle is that. He's saying, "Would you pray this for me? That utterance may be given to me." You know, when we pray that at the beginning of when we're starting to, before we approach the Word, that's not just we're making that up. That's Scripture. The Apostle Paul said, "Would you pray this for me?" Well, we're praying and agreeing together that utterance, what is that? Speech, inspiration may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly. When we're praying that, that's what we're praying. Boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, to make known the truth of God's word. Next part. "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So this is something we can pray for ourselves, you know. Not everybody ministers from a pulpit, but that you would open your mouth. You say, "Well, I'm timid around people I don't know or work." Well, you can pray this. That I would have, I just don't know what to say. Well, pray this. This is asking for utterance, for the ability to speak, for inspiration, that you would speak boldly as you ought to speak, that you'd make it clear. So this is something everybody can preach, but or can speak. But this is a scripture that we can take, and we know that this is God's will, and we know that we have the ability to pray it. So let's go to your prayer sheet then. Ephesians 6, verse 19, and let's pray this together. The prayer we already mentioned, who we're praying for, ourselves and church and our families. All right, let's pray this together. I pray that utterance may be given to us, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which we are ambassadors in chains, that in it we may speak boldly as we ought to speak. That's praying for boldness in your world, where you are. And you're praying it, now what do? You get in faith about it. What does that mean? You don't say, I don't know what to say. You don't say, I'm so timid. I don't know how to share my faith. No, we're praying the word of God, and so we believe that God is doing what he said. So now, what should we start saying in line with this? That we believe it. So we start saying, I speak boldly. I know what to say. I say the right thing at the right time. When opportunities come, I'm able to share my faith. I'm able to speak with clarity, with precision, with boldness. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 through 5. This is one that he's not specifically mentioning prayer, but we include this in something you'll see that this is the results we want. And this is the way the Apostle Paul operated. So this is a good thing to pray. It says, and I, brethren, you can pray. Of course, there's lots of things we can pray from the Word, and we're just picking out scriptures that are specifically prayers, but this is an example of any truth in the God's word that it's his will, we can pray it in line with his word for ourselves. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yeah. So what's he saying? Go back to verse 1. He said, this is Apostle Paul again to the Corinthians. He says, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellence of speech. Apostle Paul, the one that penned through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the majority of the New Testament letters, he said, it wasn't my flowery language. I didn't come to you with excellence of speech or wisdom. He's talking about men's wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. In other words, it wasn't the way I said it that was the deal. Wait, how many of you know if the Apostle Paul, who was the most effective, aside from Jesus, probably the most effective soul winner and person getting the word of God, if he was doing it like this, how many of you know that's the way we ought to do it? Yeah. We don't start trying to do it with all the flashy things of men's wisdom, because that's not the pattern. I'm going to go ahead and put it up again. Verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, I know Jesus. And I know that he's crucified and that what he did. And that's what I'm focusing on. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. In other words, not just making arguments. It's not talk, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Notice it says, my speech and my preaching were not that. Sometimes we cut it out and just say, the demonstration of the Spirit of power, that's miracles and things, that'll follow the preaching of the Word. But notice he's saying his speech and his preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but his speech and his preaching were in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That means his preaching was powerful. And why? Because it's anointed by God. What does that mean? The Spirit of God's on it. It's not just him. Verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He's saying, so you're not looking at the wisdom of men and great arguments. Wow, that Paul, boy, he really knows how to argue. He knows how to debate. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, I came to you not with all that stuff. I came to you with the anointing of God, with the power of God. My speech wasn't with the wisdom of men. Sometimes we think we're going to talk people into believing God. Well, the bottom line is you're going to present the gospel. They have a choice to believe. People still have a choice to believe regardless of how many things you answer. Sometimes that's just a red herring. It's a distraction. People say, well, what about this? Then you answer, well, what about this? Because they don't want to choose to believe. They're just looking for an excuse. So it's not debate. It's preaching the word. So let's pray this together. on this one, I put 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, because it's the context of all that together, but we're just pulling the things out that make sense to pray. Some there's statements, and then there's things to pray. So let's go ahead and pray that. I pray that we would not know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that our speech and our preaching would not be with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that the faith of those around us should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Same thing, as it applies as we're speaking to other people. We're speaking not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with the power of God. Let's go to the next one, Colossians 2 to 4. These are a bunch of shorter ones, and we're just going to run through them. Colossians 4:2-4 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us. There he's saying, praying for me. What should we pray, Paul? That God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest or clear as I ought to speak. Well, this applies to everybody. He's saying, pray that the door would open for the word, to speak the word, that I would make it clear, that I would make it manifest as I ought to speak. Well, that's something every Christian is an ambassador for God, so we can do that. We pray for ourselves. Hey, you know, don't say, I don't ever have opportunities. Pray this and start believing for opportunities. All right, let's pray this one together. Colossians 4:2-4. I pray that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, that we may make it manifest as we ought to speak. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. How about that? Epaphras is praying that you would stand perfect and complete, that's mature and complete in the word of will of God. Let's pray that together. I pray that we may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now I'm going to read this one. This one is in the Amplified Classic because I really like it. It just brings out so much, and we're just going to get to it and read it. But a lot of verse 20 is not where we're praying, but it sets the stage for praying. Verse 20 says, now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed and ratified the everlasting agreement, covenant, testament. So if you take the beginning of verse 20, it said, now may the God of peace, and then we pick up in verse 21, strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom we be glory forever and ever, to the ages of ages. Amen. So be it. So he's praying that they would be strengthened so that they would be able to carry out God's will. Well, that applies to all of us. This is such a good verse. Let's go ahead and pray this together. Hebrews 13:20-21 on your sheet or up here. Lord, strengthen, complete, perfect, and make us what we ought to be, and equip us with everything good, that we may carry out your will, while you yourself work in us and accomplish that which is pleasing in your sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And amen. This next one, some of these we could just go directly to prayer, but let's read 2 Thessalonians 1:11. It says, therefore, we also pray for you. We always pray for you that God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in the work of faith and power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray that. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12. I pray that our God would count us worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in us and us in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The next one, let's just go ahead and pray it. It's pretty straightforward. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, the verse is very similar. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort our hearts and establish us in every good word and work. It's a good one to pray. Need comfort? Well, here you go. That he would comfort our hearts, establish us, that we'd be established. This next one, let's read that on the actual verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Well, this is something Paul's praying. There's wicked people in the earth. There's people that would have bad intentions. Well, here the Paul, so Paul's saying, pray for us that we would be delivered. Well, what if you're dealing with somebody like this, wicked, or somebody that's heretic? Well, here, pray like the Apostle Paul prayed. The Word of God makes these things available. Let's read again. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. So the Word of God would be running swiftly and glorified in us, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Do you know that not everybody has faith? There are people that are unreasonable and wicked. We can say, God, deliver us. Keep us from it. Keep us from that. All right, let's read that on the sheet or up on the screen. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. I pray that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified in our lives, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Let's just read the next one, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Let's go ahead and pray it, put up the prayer. Now may the Lord direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Yeah, let's just read the next one too. Let's go ahead and put up the prayer for the next one. It's Paul was just saying this, I pray for you, but we're just praying for ourselves, but everything else, it's pretty much direct. Philippians 1:9, let's go ahead and pray it together. And this I pray, that our love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that we may approve the things that are excellent, that we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Let's look at the verse, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. The Apostle Paul's saying, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. Being established, loving, and then being established in the love or in God, that he would be established our hearts blameless before God and Father. Okay, let's go ahead and pray that. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 and 13. And may the Lord make us increase and abound in love to one another and to all, so that he may establish our hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now this is one sentence, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, the Apostle Paul's closing a letter this way. And he says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." So giving you peace in every way. If we need peace, it's a good thing to pray. We know God, Christ has been made our peace here. The Apostle Paul is saying that he would give you peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, let's pray this together. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give us peace always in every way." And then the last one. Now this one I tightened up, one part. But 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." So I took the middle part out just because it doesn't read as clunky, because it's not always. You can be praying to be perfected, established, strengthened, settled. You don't think you need to be praying every time after you've suffered a while. He's praying. He was saying this for them, whatever they're going through. There is a time, but it's just more general if we pray it without that. So that's the way I have it on the sheet. All right, let's do this together. 1 Peter 5:10, the last one. Let's pray it together. "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us." Amen. So these are things, again, you can take the sheet just as it is. Now we're gonna put that on our website, you know, where you normally are, it says a download section where you download the scriptures. We'll put the scriptures, but also we'll put this sheet. So you can download it. You can have that, a copy. We'll also, tomorrow when Shelley sends out the email, she'll put a link to that document as well. So you can go right there. So you can go either way. Go and you can grab it. We'll put it in a PDF at least, and if not both formats. And so you have that. These are just tools. It's the Word of God directly, but this is something that I have, just like this. I got a list. I got a document like this. I got a list of my family's names and people, the church, all the ministers in the area, you know, people that we're associated with, and we pray for people together, and then pray these. I got this in a document, and then just go over and pray these things. And it's powerful. So I encourage you to use these things. And don't make it legalistic, but do it. It's a tool to use. That's the Word of God. And so this is just something that's available. Praise God.